Welcome again. So as you all know, satsang is what is the deep silence that underscores and supports all of existence, that nourishes and animates and infuses all that is. And that includes us. Needless to say, this remarkable formless beingness that's in form to explore its own creation and savor and notice the contrast. And then we gather together to trade notes on how quirky it all is and how wonderful, and occasionally the body and the mind can feel burdened. So it's beautiful to have conscious friends, kind-hearted sage friends to be with and share with. So whatever you're noticing, whatever you'd like to share, just press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Drew Ann.
Hello.
Hello.
So, I would like some assistance. What I'm noticing is it's been kind of a theme. Is this internal, well, it's really probably mainly a mental dialogue about fear and overwhelm with circumstances so that I'm alone. So now when we were sitting in meditation, some people are standing out on the curb next door and chatting and loud and laughing, and it's just bringing up this perception and this fear of being alone.
Yes. And I'm just wondering if it's the mind feeling alone. Are you the friend to the mind? Just wondering. The mind is the screenwriter for our movie.
Well,
well, that was a, maybe on my part an awkward way to invite you to be a friend to that which is feeling all alone inside, which could include innocent presence.
Well, it's, I mean, I definitely sense a resistance to letting go. So, I mean,
there's no need to let go, sweetie. because it's all consciousness. So
I guess the question is where to put my attention, because
answering the call from within, there's something that's going, ouch. Was that okay?
Yeah, it's hard to meet that.
That's okay. Now just know you have a whole bunch of sages as backup. So you can tell it it's hard to meet you because that which animates and is at the heart of everything loves honesty. So we're just saying, wow, it's really hard to meet you. Oh.
Okay, so if there's a little bit of bowing and a little bit of softness, I can't tell. There's this overwhelm that feels. If I drop the mind and sense in, there's this overwhelm. Maybe it's the mind. I can't tell. There's this overwhelm.
No. Just put your hand on where you feel the overwhelm.
Okay, it's definitely, well, it's the heart and the stomach.
Yeah, and just agree with it. But it's such a natural response to modern life. And we're just saying, yes, yes, yes. Natural to be overwhelmed, natural not to like it. And we're removing any burden of doing this. We're just inviting it to notice it doesn't have to let go or hold on or get anything right or like anything it doesn't like.
Okay, so, I mean, I was just with someone like 20 minutes ago, and there's it's this sense of disorientation.
And just reassure that. Let it know, I'm here. I understand. You're the constancy of presence and the constancy of compassion. Just let it know you're here.
Well, what comes is you're not enough.
But that's from the mind, and give it a kiss. none of this is personal, so it's understandable why overwhelm itself.
Well, it's very existential because when I put my attention on me, it's very permeable. It's very I mean, I can feel my feet on the floor, but when I put my attention into, I feel like a dissolve.
And can you just thank that? That's the alchemical response of anything in form and function meeting anything that's distressed. I'm sorry, I had that opposite. Anything that's in form and function meeting you, the benevolent presence, so it softens. We're just functioning the way the hand does with a gentle touch.
Okay, I'm lost in this because the trip is the switch to turn this overwhelm on is this sense of vastness, this sense of nothing there.
So that's when the body mind goes into overwhelm?
Yeah, because the confusion, I don't know where to put my attention. If it's in the mind and thinking, there's a little more stability, and it is a little more harsh thinking. And then if I say, yes, 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 overwhelm is here.
Can I just invite you to notice that innocent awareness is anchoring itself in thought or the mind out of innocent fear of the oceanic vastness. And that's very natural until we feel the benevolence in the vastness.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah. So just comforting again, just it's safe. My friend Walter, who I used to give retreats with, he would say to people, the void loves you. So ask the space, whatever you want to call it, let me feel your love for the vastness. Let me feel your love. And how does that feel?
Well, there's quite a bit of calming in the body, and my body's, you know, heating up.
And just thanking that something is finding its way home. Thank you, thank you.
I've had plenty of experiences of sensing the benevolence in the void.
Yeah.
But it's not happening here.
No, but sweetie, the body-mind is always a few paces behind awareness. Because the body-mind is in time until it knows its true nature also as space. So just stroking the body-mind and tell it how brave it's been. Been very, very brave. And there's no rush. It notices when it notices. And it's noticing now.
Yeah, there's very much a fullness in the space now.
Yeah. And just inviting the body-mind to just drink, nourish itself. Like every cell could rest open. And get its nourishment directly from whatever you want to call this great holding love.
Now this feels like it's plenty. It feels more than enough. Is it because my attention moves? Why does it seem, I know this is the million-dollar question, why does it seem to come and go? Because
the body-mind didn't get it yet. You got it. Dreadful American phrase, you got it. But the body mind hadn't noticed. It had its foot on the brake going, I'm not sure about that. So we're just gently, the body mind, even though it is space and the five elements, you know, it has habituated to being a human object. And it's felt everything and experienced everything, and so it rides the brake. And I have to say, with good cause, you know.
Yeah.
At this
yeah.
point, it wants direct experience. It doesn't want another concept. It doesn't want another book. It.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's it. So here we have led the primordial horse to the water and said, look, safe to drink, safe to be held, safe to be here.
Yeah, even though there's still the awareness of space, the space is very full, very comforting, very alive, and feels stable. It feels, I mean, I can feel my body grounding down.
There you go. Yes, and then as you rest during the rest of the satsang and maybe forever, just invite the body-mind to also realize itself as space, as all the five elements. So
that's really good. I can feel like dense bones in all that space.
Yeah, there's earth in there and fire and water and air and space. The body is not an object. So have some fun with that.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, dear, thanks for staying with it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Pamela, it's Kate. I just wanted to check in because a couple people have mentioned your volume is very soft compared
to the speaker.
Okay, that would be great. Thanks so much.
I just turned my volume up as well.
Great, thank you.
Oh, thanks, Kate. So I'm sitting outside and in the garden with the dog, Taya, and there's a lovely breeze, and awareness is aware of the big space and the wind moving the trees, possibly even caressing the space. And our awareness is so vast as it is, that vastness, the awareness of vastness itself in space, that it's aware of the breadth of form and formlessness, the infinite nature of all of it, and the fineness. There's a fineness in form. I'm just looking at the bark and the flowers. And the wind is very beautiful to relax into in the summertime. Just feeling all that. We're very, very lucky to have these sensitive instruments that we all call bodies, for space to enjoy. So feel free to *6 and unmute yourself to speak, share what you're noticing or being with.
Hello, Pamela.
Hello,
Lawrence.
Hello.
Ah, well, it's a beautiful morning here, too. And just to continue with Drew Ann's theme, you know, it feels to me as though this whole fear thing is like one of the last big hurdles. It's like the last stand. For me, it feels like this, you know, very, very deep, entrenched thing that still remains. And the specific thing that I'm aware of right now is that I feel afraid of flying in airplanes. And we're planning a trip to Europe in September, and I'm looking forward to the trip, but getting onto the plane brings up deep fear.
Yeah. And just find where the fear lives in the body.
Certainly the belly.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we could just put your hand there for a moment just to comfort presence comforting.
There seems to be some kind of correlation between, you know, flying through the air at 30,000 feet and being in the vastness. You know, the body mind says, you know, wait a minute, just hang on a minute. You know, I'm not quite used to this.
Yeah, but let's interrupt it for a second. Let's just invite it to notice there's no threat in this moment.
True, yes.
Okay. Well, we're just reassuring it. There's no threat. There's no threat. It doesn't have to get on an airplane now. Ah. We're just soothing a bit until we can help it discern. But if it has its foot on the brake already, then it's not really open to satsang. So we're just
yes, the mind likes to sort of project ahead. It's sort of a preemptive
Yes.
thing, you know, running through the scenario, getting
yes.
on the plane.
Very beautifully noticed. It's so true. So let's just reassure the mind. Rest. Safe here. We're safe. Thank you for trying to protect me from future airplane flights.
And even though, you know, there is the knowing that it's pretty safe, there's still somehow a deep resistance to being that high up in the air.
Yeah, and just agree with it. Yes, you're right. It's very odd. You know, really honor that. I mean, it's a relatively new experience for consciousness. Just agree. You're right. It's a great mystery. Anywho, how it works. And ask the mind what its longing is in regard to traveling. How would it like it to be?
It would like to travel by car or train.
Okay. And just to that, yes. How wise you are.
It wants to be on the ground, and it wants to have all the vastness, all the freedom, all the, you know, all the wonderful stuff, but with feet on the ground.
Yes, and just say yes to that. How wise you are. How wise you are, dear mind, to love what you love, to resonate with what you resonate with.
Yeah.
We're just honoring its affinity. And how is it in this moment, the mind and the belly? Is it kind of unwinding a bit?
Yes, well, it's starting to see that this is kind of a little play that the mind has gotten into the habit of running through, getting
mm-hmm.
onto the airplane and going up to 30,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, it feels as though there's a correlation between that, as though it's almost a stand-in for this for the empty space and the vastness,
yeah,
and not being identified and not hanging on to things. And then,
yeah, and just tell it that it doesn't have to identify or non-identify, and it doesn't have to hang on or let go, and it doesn't have to like anything it doesn't like. So really giving it total freedom to be as it is in this moment, which is friendly, really.
And then the mind also likes to start trying to figure out the symbolism of the whole thing. You know,
yeah.
Carl Jung would say it's a symbol of the inflated ego that needs to come back to earth.
Oh, and just honor that the mind is loves wisdom and clarity and getting to the bottom of things.
Yes.
Just for a moment, just, how wise you are to want to get to the root of everything. How wise you are, dear mind.
Well, the mind is really thrashing around, desperately trying to convince itself that this is kind of a symbolic thing and a symptom of you know, living in vastness and not a real danger.
Okay,
good.
It feels
worried, you know,
yes,
worried
but,
about
but
it.
Just check if it's thrashing in this moment. Or if it's unwinding.
Well, it's not really thrashing. It's
good, good. Glad to hear.
It's still kind of sitting there with a questioning look on its face.
Yeah, and just honor that it loves the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really wants to get to the bottom of it. It
that
somehow
thing.
Wants a three-word answer and be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, it wants to get it off the table.
Yes, and that also is its clear seeing, because it wants to relax and enjoy its trip.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And honor its wisdom again. Because when we honor the mind, it really returns to its naturalness, which is already okay with the great mystery of airplane travel. And just really honoring the mind, how wise you are to want to get to the root, how wise you are to love freedom and relaxation and very
well,
wise.
There's also this thing that the mind really wants to know for sure.
Yes, yes.
It wants to know the plan, the program, that it's really safe, that, you know, we're going to be here for a good while more, that there's
yes.
some more time to enjoy all this.
Okay, good. So ask the mind if it all of a sudden got a download or an upload from within of all the clarity, what would that give it? So already it just got the download or the upload from within. All questions have been answered. All concerns have come to rest. Now what? We're just inviting it to cut to the chase, which is...
Well, I think the mind understands that there is no verbal explanation to make this go away.
Oh, wait.
What it
yeah,
wants...
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, I like that. We're going right to what it wants. What
it sort
it
of
want?
Sees there's no talking its way out of it.
Okay.
But what it wants is to just drop the whole thing, just to forget it and not even, you know, just to get sort of tired of it and forget about it and let it go.
Okay. And can we say yes to that?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. How, it's even so wise it doesn't want to inquire and sift through every past circumstance that created all this. And now we're going, how wise you are. You are a genius. You want to forget about it and rest. Genius.
Yeah, that's it. And there's also, you know, this noticing that in the past, every time I've gotten on a plane, there's been that nervousness, that anxiety.
Yes.
And it's always okay.
All very nice. And until it never has to have that experience again.
Hmm. It just, you know, there's a little bit of kind of worry in the mind about why does this fear keep coming up?
Yeah.
It's just this fear of flying, being up in the air in a plane. Why does it keep coming up again?
Now just give the why question a kiss.
Okay.
Or shake its hand, which might be a little more manly.
Okay.
Because that's not its deepest. Remember, it just told us its deepest longing is just to forget about it.
Yes.
And it's the cruise on the plane, you know, get in its comfy, big, hopefully big, spacious seat, put its legs up, and be taken care of.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and tell it, of course you can have that longing. Of course you can. Now, for me, what helped is noticing that everything is consciousness and everything is intelligent. So that's a fun thing to draw awareness to. Mm. And you can play with that, you know, just while you're walking around town or sitting at home or working in the garden, or to notice everything is intelligent. Every leaf is intelligent. Every plant, the oxygen itself is intelligent. The sun is intelligent. The earth, the soil, all beings, even though some of them pretend to be less intelligent, are very, very intelligent. Then the fun thing is to notice that so-called inanimate forms, I can't pronounce that because it's not true, are intelligent. So the airplane itself is intelligent, the engine is intelligent, every single form and function within it is intelligent, the space and air it's flying through is intelligent.
Mm.
The wings are intelligent, the flaps are intelligent. The jet engines are intelligent. But above all, space is carrying everything, including the airplane. Mm-hmm. So the fun thing to notice is, okay, so you and I and Carrie and all our friends are hurtling through space on something called a planet.
Yes.
Now it's, we are luckily not noticing that we're hurtling through space.
Right, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Because luckily the planet is intelligent, whatever, you know, our perceptions that don't allow us to perceive hurtling through space, that's intelligent. The constancy of the felt sense of the earth that we get to experience as we're walking around and sitting on a chair, or that's intelligent. So that I found was very relaxing. Like my car is intelligent. The road I drive, the roads I drive on are intelligent. The signs that tell me where to go are intelligent. So after a while, presence just kicks back and deeply relaxes, because it actually doesn't have to know much. As you know, I just took a road trip down to Southern California. It's so great. All you have to do is watch the signs, and the road knows the way, and it's so great. The car knows the way.
Yes. Well, I do notice that everything seems to just go like clockwork without anybody making it happen. It just, life just lives, you know, as your expression goes, life lives itself.
Yes.
And everything just works perfectly.
Yes. So it's also true of an airplane. If you don't think of it as an airplane, because there's a whole file on airplanes, but it's consciousness. Consciousness took the shape of a silvery or white thing with seats. I mean, it's just another form of consciousness, which is why it can stay up in the air.
Yeah.
So have some fun with that. You know, you've already honored your car as present
yeah,
and consciousness.
True.
So now we're just including another vehicle. We've honored our minds as consciousness, but now we can include. In the old days, you would have just had a horse or a boat or a carriage or something.
Yes, that was easier.
Sweet.
Oh, yes. All right.
All right. What a delight to be with you.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Okay. Much, much love.
And to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela. This is Roy.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. I had an experience, kind of an experience, I guess you could call it. A couple of weeks ago at a hot springs, went to the hot springs for the weekend just to take some time away from everything. And in the morning, this question came up, and it was kind of a culmination of a genuine interest and a curiosity. And the question was, what am I before identification happens?
Mm-hmm.
And very quickly, I found myself just seeing everything from a different point of view, from the point of view of spaciousness or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And then a thought would pass by, just aware of thoughts and sensations, feelings. And a thought would pass by, and it was really curious because the same thought just an hour before would completely make me, my whole world kind of shrink in fear.
Yes.
But this time, the best way to describe it is kind of like you're saying, awareness just kissed the thought and it was allowed to return to wherever, to its source. And a little bit of fear came up and it was also welcomed in the presence and came and went, and it was just a really lovely couple of days, just everything kind of coming and going, allowed to come and go. Yeah, really, really sweet. And walked away with this insight that at, attachment or identification is insanity. and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's an insanity, but it's completely innocent, even when it's manifested in the worst way, in the ugliest way or hurtful way.
Yes. Yes, I so agree. An innocent misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Yes. I'm so happy to hear of this clarity and also this compassion towards identification. That's very rare.
Well, thank you.
Feel free to speak more as you like.
You know, I think I was wondering why I'm on the call today, because I felt drawn. I mean, I love you and I love your work, and I also feel like I don't need it so much anymore.
Oh yes, but you know, it's a gift to also speak your truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you benefit other friends. So it's lovely for you to join us and share what you're noticing, because it draws our awareness to what is, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. So great. Always feel free to follow that impulse if it goes, I think I'm going to go over and sit. Not to get anything, but to also join the transmission of the deep relaxation and okayness, you know?
Yeah, great. I will. And
okay.
Thank you. I think I'm also realizing I think I came here to hear you say, I guess I don't fully trust the experience, but to hear you validate it, it's just really helpful, because it all seems very fresh and...
It's very fresh and new. Yay!
Yeah.
And yet ancient and remembered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And totally natural and totally organic.
Ooh, very good. Oh, thank you, dearest.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pamela.
Okay, much, much love.
Okay, you too.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Julie.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. So, I appreciate all the other callers, of course, and I kind of laughed when Drew Ann was talking and you said, well, put your hand where the feeling was, and I just like put my hand in my heart and my stomach. So it's in my heart and my stomach, and kind of laugh like, yeah, that's where these things like to hang out.
How wise to seek the refuge of the heart, these feelings and the warmth in the belly.
That's a good way to put it. So I've been noticing... sort of in the longer term, I was sad a lot for a long time, and I noticed I'm not so sad anymore, which is more pleasant. But I do have these thoughts that come up a lot, and I'm getting better at kind of noticing, like, oh, okay, there's that kind of thought coming along. And sometimes it's pretty subtle, kind of a negative thinking thing, like, oh, this thing isn't going to happen, or this person isn't going to want to do something with me, or things like that. It seems like it comes out of just this old belief system of being not lovable, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Loved.
Yeah. And can we go be with that? Sometimes it helps, but you would know best, to invite lovable and unlovable to come sit. But as you wish.
Oh, yeah. So that's interesting. Lovable. Yeah, I guess either one isn't love. They're just sort of these conditions or something.
Yeah, but they want to come home together.
Mm-hmm.
They're like twins that were separated at birth, sort of. So we're going, oh, that's no fun. So just lovable and unlovable are welcome here.
Yeah, it's like they're here, but it's kind of like the same thing you said earlier. It's like it's hard to be with them.
Yeah, and just agree with that. Yeah, there's so much awkwardness in that, as well as sorrow, and we're just honoring that as well. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's like lovable is some little girl in a party dress with shiny shoes, and unlovable is just kind of darkness,
yeah,
emptiness.
Yeah, and just inviting them to just meet. Mark Twain wrote such a beautiful story called The Prince and the Pauper, which is really about this ancient split within.
So I guess I'm having a little resistance or something, like I feel like they don't know what to do, or I don't know what to do with them.
Yes, and just agree with that. Yes, no one has ever known what to do with love or unlovable. Just agree.
Okay.
I mean, everybody is all welcoming of love, but unlovable, nobody wants them to come to the party. So we're just all unlovable. Come here. Come here, sweetheart. You know, so much treasure is always hidden in these things that we don't want to be with. So we'll just assume that it could be bearing gifts like the Greek gods that would go from house to house wearing rags. So here's unlovable with its rags. Come here, come here.
So unlovable feels like more honest to me somehow, and lovable is all like fake and glitzy or something. Like,
okay, so there's a mild aversion.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant to notice that. Yeah, that's how separation happens, through aversions. Yeah, so just even honoring the aversion to bright, shiny, radiant, happy lovability. Because the way the body-mind often works is it would rather cling to unlovable than to relax into lovable and then to fall from that grace, you know, for love to be given and lived and then the rug to be pulled out. Does that resonate?
Yes.
It would rather be... I had a doll when I was little called Pitiful Pearl. And she was my favorite doll. It's like I would rather hang out with Pitiful Pearl than hang out with Glitzy and then be cast aside or cast away.
So we're like Cinderella or something, you know.
That's it, yeah. So we're just comforting. Because where the mind goes is that, you know, the human version of lovable, the mind has decided that's shallow, so it rejects that. But then it doesn't know where else to go other than to the opposite, which is uncomfortable, but at least it's gritty and more authentic.
Yeah.
So we're just blessing that whole glorious mess. Thank you, thank you. Good job. I notice my one hand is just blessing the whole glorious mess.
Thanks.
It's not personal to you because I'm totally resonating with this.
Yeah, and it's like underneath the whole thing, like this whole thing in terms of the body is sort of hanging out in my, like, in upper chest area. I mean, not in, but sort of around me there. And then there's, like, underneath it, way down in the belly, in, like, way down, like, this sort of presence and also, like, a grief.
Yes. Yes. So let's just go down into all that and just, we're bowing or bringing flowers, little devotion and gratitude for that revealing itself underneath the human play of lovable and unlovable.
Yeah, it's like underneath is just being. Like authentic being, and then like the you know, disappointments or whatever with that not being met.
Yes, and if folks are in role play in that moment, they can't meet you because they're in their role, and roles are sort of like Tupperware or Teflon. They're designed to protect and keep out. So we're just a little compassion for that. And then we're just, I'm going to use a very funny word, we're wallowing in that deep presence. It's like way down deep and you're just kind of like rolling around and scratching your back and have some fun.
Yeah.
And deep down in there, there's no lovable or unlovable. It's never heard of that, right?
Yeah, it's just being.
Yeah. Yay, sweet relief.
It permeates all the parts. Like, it doesn't want there to be, like, lovable and unlovable in some other location happening still.
Yes, it just it wants to welcome everything home to just pure being. Back into formless yumminess.
Yeah, it wants to be safe and secure, too. It's like that whole lovable, unlovable thing is like got so much insecurity that it brought with it.
Yes, yes, and that was just innocence and humility, having no idea of its inherent value, and then it's walking around going, yikes. How am I doing? Oh no, am I okay? Doubt is so helpful. So we're just noticing the constancy and the absolute value of presence, of space. It's like, that's where the relief is.
Oh, yeah. And that it doesn't have to do anything.
Like, yeah, it doesn't have to earn the love.
It thought it had to fix this other thing and make it, like, go away or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was my mind. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, okay, so it just already is. It's there. It's here.
And the more you honor it, the more it the whole body returns back to that. Every cell can know itself as that.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, I'm just able to access this with you and the satsang, and that's why I just keep coming back. Get more of that.
Yeah, we need each other. We need each other. The sangha functions as that lovely hot mineral springs that the earlier sage, whose name escapes me right now, was soaking in. We soak in the sangha, and then clarity arises spontaneously from within. It's like, ah.
Thank you.
Thank you for confirming that. And that's such a beautiful inquiry, because that's such an original one. It's from when we were really, really little.
Yeah.
Probably before kindergarten, when you first encounter so-called other people.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I feel lighter and freer. Thank you.
Thank you. See you soon.
Okay.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Sorry, I was on speaker. There's some frustration and some sadness because I'm not giving myself some space that feels like it's needed.
Yes, and just agree with that. Just really honor those feelings. Because that's what they want as well, space. And just as if all those feelings and the sensations, they're coming to have satsang with you. Just see what they need in this moment. And what's noticed? What is awareness aware of?
The sadness in my throat,
mm-hmm.
in my heart.
Yeah. And ask it how it would like you to be with it. You can let it lead the satsang so you don't have to know how to do it. And even if there,
like to be there.
Say again.
Just like a feeling of being there with it.
Oh, very nice. That's it. Yes. And sometimes it helps to put your hand on the throat or the heart. The hand always gives the best satsang because there's no words. It's just that. Warm touch. And can you honor how natural it is to have these responses, either from the past or from something that's happening now? It's just very natural for the body to respond the way it does. Does that resonate?
Yeah, I think part of the stuckness is feeling like I need to do something, like I need to change. So that the situation will change, like I have to make it change.
Okay, so the have to, that would be a little pressure. So just thank that. That's the mind trying to help. The have to. But we can answer the longing for some positive change. Does that resonate? We can say,
yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. We would love positive change. And always feel free to change the words until they resonate for you. What's noticed in this moment? Anything is okay.
There was some energy that when I focused on the positive change, there was some energy that released.
Mm-hmm. Good. So maybe
the frustration, the anger has sort of come back into the throat.
Yes, but agree with frustration. Frustration is just saying it's tired of being limited or whatever it's frustrated about. Can we just agree with frustration?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you're right, dear frustration. You're right. And just see what the longing is. What's the longing? And what's noticed in this moment?
When I was asking what the longing was, I was just focusing on the feeling that's there, and it's not totally clear because there's a knowing that part of it is this feeling in itself that's causing the disturbance. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes. So did I understand you that it's the feeling itself is causing the disturbance? Did I understand
yeah.
you right? Okay.
Yeah.
So now, if the feeling is bothering you that much, it means it's ready to know its true nature. So ask it if it would like to know its true nature, because it's not just the circumstance. It just wants to live as presence or beingness. And we're just asking it if it would like that. Would it like to live as life itself and feel more space and freedom?
Yes.
Aha! Yay! So ask it to look behind history or its idea of itself, just into its essence, into its intelligent presence and essence. So we're basically asking that feeling, who are you really? And no answer is required. It's just very respectful. It's like an inner namaste. I honor the divine in you, in the feeling. Does it like that?
There's a comfort in meeting it, I think.
I missed the one word. There's a what in meeting it? Oh, beautiful. You see, that's what it wanted. You to function as compassion. Yeah. So this is what I call inner satsang, where you function as this warm-hearted sage within, and then everybody gets to sit with you and be comforted and relax back into their true nature. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you for staying with that.
Thanks, Pamela.
Okay, much love.
Much love. Thank you.
So we have enough timelessness for one more sage. So just maybe celebrating a bit that which we are, the nature of what is. So beautiful to hear you all speak of what you're noticing. Very, very pleased at the unmoving being within. It's such good medicine for the group consciousness. I was just in Santa Barbara and sitting at an outdoor little cafe and in an area where there were lots of so-called homeless people, you know. And in a few people walking down the street, there was such a notable suffering that was occupying them in their mind. It was very obvious it was in the mind, and then the body amplified with feelings whatever was going on in the mind. So my heart just went out to the one mind, the one human mind that is troubled and overwhelmed and occasionally trying to find ease, but finding its opposite, even into dis-ease. So just by us balancing, each one of us is the balancing function in the group consciousness. We balance through our love and our awareness and our compassion and our being with. So a deep bow of gratitude to everybody for functioning this way, for being this ultimate medicine of warm space. Mm. all suffering is born of the one mind's own suffering. It's not personal, though it feels like it is occasionally. Meanwhile, if we're lucky enough to be outdoors and the wind is functioning that way, the breezes and the sun and the earth functions this way as the constancy of being, even in the ever-changing displays of what we notice within and without, there's the constancy of being within all of it. And the greatest blessing is not only wisdom, but it's the relaxed body-mind. So it's such a blessing that truth and satsang in any form it takes, even the blessings in nature, gift our body minds with the return back to that relaxed openness, relaxed and rooted openness. Yeah. So thank you everyone for contributing to the wakefulness of the human tribe just by being. I'm just going to return the hosting of this tender gathering back to Kate with much, much gratitude to Open Circle.
Thank you, Pamela. Much gratitude back at you. And for everyone on the call. It's really sweet to be with everyone. Pamela, do you have anything, any announcements?
We have our next telesatsang on the 31st, I believe, the last Sunday of the month. No, 28th, sorry about that. There is, I'm on the wrong month.
31st. Right, I was going to say.
31st, yeah. And we have a women's gathering in the Bay Area on the 9th. So that's all for now.
Great. Thank you. So, yes, Pamela will be with us the 31st of July. And next Sunday is Stephen Bodian, who has been with this a few times. And after that, we have a few new... Well, Jeannie Zandi will be back with us on July 17th, and then Miranda McPherson. And then Pamela back with us. So do check those out at our website. And if you'd like to go ahead and unmute yourselves by pressing *6, you can feel free to do that now.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela, and much love.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Sangha. Blessings.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela. Much love to everyone.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Pamela. Much love.
Love to all. Love to Kate.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm signing off for now.
All right, thank you. Enjoy your 4th.
Thank you, dear. And you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Much love. Bye. Again, thank you, everyone, and I will go ahead and end the conference for us all. Be well.